Great to be here at Lilydale, and I'm glad the reading was Ephesians, otherwise I was starting to rewrite my sermon very quickly. As I said, I'm the regional pastor for Eastern Victoria. So my job is to gather pastors, to drink coffee with pastors, share with pastors and encourage them and bless them. And I do that in about 70 churches in Eastern Victoria. My area starts at Wodonga, and sort of travels down the Hume Highway, sort of winds its way through the outer eastern suburbs, sort of Lilydale, obviously, and down to Dandenong, and then sort of through to Phillip Island, and everything east of that area is sort of my responsibility. And I love working in the BUV support hub. I'm a little bit nervous because my boss's parents are sort of watching as here, so they might give reports back. I work with Jonathan Stark, which is such a privilege to have him guide me and lead me. So I'm on my best behaviour, like I always am, but I'm on my best behaviour today, just in case anything gets back to the boss. But I do bring greetings from the rest of the Baptist Union. We're such a vast, different community, us Baptists. There's about 250, 260 Baptist churches who will meet over the weekend in buildings, some like this, some totally different. Some communities will meet like this and some will meet in totally different ways. Some will be around a dining room table. Others will be in buildings three, four, five times as big as this. One of the interesting things that I found when I started working with the Resource Hub, the BUV Resource Hub, is that of those 260 churches, about one third of them will have their service in a language other than English this weekend. That's the community in which we call ourselves Baptists, in which we own and belong. And I think that's fantastic that we actually reflect that broader community and the world view of that. Can I encourage you, like that was a wonderful prayer time, but can I encourage you to keep praying for the Baptist community in Victoria? Especially we have a significant number of Burmese churches who are quite large, who are continuing to try and support their fellow family and friends in Myanmar through extremely difficult circumstances. So if you could add them onto your prayer list, they would appreciate it. That it is a very difficult time over there for Christians and for the whole community. Before I get into God's word, I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. Not that I like talking about myself, but I think it helps give a bit of context. I was a senior pastor at Sale Baptist for 22 years, still live in Sale, and love living in Gippsland. I went to Gippsland I said to God, I'll give it a year down there, you know, and I'll see how I go. I'm not a country boy at all. So I gave it a year, and that was in 1996, and now, with all due respect, the best view of Melbourne is in my rearview mirror as I drive back down to Sale. I have four children and 10 grandchildren, and three of the children are still in Sale, and one is in Wodonga, and all married, which is fantastic. My eldest son did the very un-Baptist thing and followed in my footsteps as the pastor of the Sale Church. And so he is now my pastor, which is just a wonderful privilege to be able to sit under your son's teaching and leadership. He doesn't always get it right, let me tell you that, but he's pretty good. And he occasionally lets the old man have a go at preaching at Sale, which is fantastic. Our family is really blessed at all of them. The three in Sale are still involved in the Sale Church, and and the one in Wodonga is involved in church and involved in the worship team up there. Over Christmas, we sort of try and get together, and every second year, it's a Haman Christmas, where we have our kids and grandkids for ourselves, but every second year, it's sort of like the in-laws, and they go elsewhere, and then we try and gather at some other time. This was an off year for us, so New Year's Eve, we all drove to Jindabyne, up in the high country in New South Wales, and we got an Airbnb, one house, one set of grandparents, four married kids, and 10 grandkids. And we did our Christmas in this big house. If you want to know about Airbnb, talk to me later. That's another whole story that we won't go into. But seven knives for 20 people don't work. Anyway, that was just a part of it. Anyway. But one of the things we were doing up at Jindabyne was giving out Christmas presents. And so you can imagine families pushing in Christmas presents, bikes, pushers, all the clothes they need, all the toys they need, and all into this car, and then pile the kids in. Some of the presents, let's say, when they were sort of emptied out and put on the floor for Father Christmas to give out, didn't look as pristine as they were when they were first wrapped. Some of the cards may have been sort of missed tonight, so say, whose is this and who am I giving it to? You know? The gifts were quite, some of them were a bit tattered and torn. Now, this morning we're going to talk about gifts. And gifts that are mistreated end up a little bit tattered and torn. We've all been given gifts. And we're going to be talking and inducting three pastors who are using their gifts. And we're going to be blessing and encouraging the leaders of this church who've all been given gifts. The Bible says we've all been given gifts. I wonder how well we've treated those gifts ourselves, and how well we treat the gifts that others bring to us. I hope they're not tattered and torn. I hope they're well worn. I hope they're well used, but not tattered and torn. So as I travel around, the hat that I wear, that I refuse to take off. I put a lot of hats on. In my spare time, I'm a Defence Force chaplain. And so I go on the RAF base in Sale for 2 days a week. And so I put on a RAF hat. But the hat that never gets taken off is the hat that says, I will protect and care for pastors and encourage pastors. That's my role, that's my job, that's my passion. I hope we all wear that hat at times. As we induct three new pastors into this community, our role is to encourage and support and cheer them on, to bless them. This is not a day where we go, three pastors. We can do nothing now. We'll just sit back. We're inducting this is impressive. 100 years of experience is coming onto this pastoral team. Now, churches say to me, I want someone really young with a whole lot of experience. Well, you got the jackpot. You got three young pastors with huge amount of experience. It doesn't come along every day. But it's not the day where you go, we can just sit back and there's three of them, they can do it all. It'll be right. We'll just enjoy the ride. If that's what you're thinking, I'm not the bearer of good news. I'm probably the bearer of some bad news. This is the day where we actually start afresh, where you pedal even faster, where you run even further. Some of you might say, well, I've been doing that for a while. I feel like I need a rest. Well, just go and talk to your pastors and ask how long they've been doing it. And I think it might put it, you know. Some of you are doing some wonderful ministry. I'm not putting that down, but today is not the day to relax. Today is to cheer on and to be encouraged. I'll preach to the choir with the three pastors. This is not their church. This is not Peter's church. It's not Daryl's church. It's not Tony's church. It's not their church. This is God's church. They're called to serve, just as we all are. The privilege they have is they get paid to do it. You don't. That's the only difference. That's the only difference. This passage that was read to us, it's a wonderful passage of challenge, encouragement, but it actually lays out the role of what church and pastors are all about. And when it says this, you know, Jesus gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists in verse 11, some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people. That's what Peter was saying earlier. That's his job. That's his passion. Why have these three been doing it for 100 years? Because it's their passion. To see people flourish, to see people blossom, to be the best they can be, and to be in relationship with Jesus. That's why they do it, to prepare God's people for service. Not God's people to sit in a lounge chair, not God's people to come to a service on a Sunday, drink a cup of tea, and go home. You don't need any preparation for that. That's easy. Anyone can turn up, sing a song, listen to a prayer, sleep through a sermon, have a cup of tea, and go home. Anyone can do that. You don't need preparation. What you do need, you need preparation if you're going to serve. You need that encouragement. And why do you serve? So that the whole body is built up. Why do we do what we do in church? To build the kingdom of God. Well, I said it at Sale Baptist Church for 22 years. My calling is not to build Sale Baptist Church. My calling is to build the kingdom of God and to see people into the kingdom of God. I didn't care if they went to Sale Baptist or anywhere else, as long as they're in relationship with Jesus, building the kingdom of God. That's our calling. It's not to build a Baptist empire, but it's to build a kingdom of God. So that the body will be built up and reach unity. Wow, what a goal. Unity. That's huge, isn't it? Now, I'm aware that some churches have history where there may not be complete unity. You get three people in the room and you'll have four opinions. I know that. I live in that space. But we can be unified. In defence world, this has been recorded, isn't it? Okay, I'll be careful. In defence world, as a chaplain, I have to live in an inclusive environment and serve in an inclusive environment. I don't have to agree theologically with that environment. I don't have to agree with that. We had a new chaplain come into the base who works in a separate area by himself, but we work together. I met him and his partner, Josh. When I heard Stu and Josh were coming, that was a challenge for me, theologically. I said to him last week, it doesn't matter what I think theologically about you and Josh. That is irrelevant. And if I do have a problem, it's my problem, not yours. Because that's unity. It's my problem of how I function in that space and that relationship. Because we live in an inclusive environment. That, I think, is a really good definition of unity. Do I agree with that relationship? It's irrelevant. What I think theologically is irrelevant. I'm responsible for my actions before God, and that's what I'll be accountable for. That's how I think about unity. So me and Stu will have no problems working together. No problems whatsoever, because of that attitude. And Stu sat there and went, that's right. That's right. When we are mature, we can see the big picture and be unified. Reach unity. I'm just reading verse 13. In reaching unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God. Did you note the order? In faith and knowledge. When I was young, I reckon I always had those round the other way. It was knowledge and then faith. It's all about what I know. The older I get, the less I know. The older I get, the less I'm certain of. A young me definitely wouldn't have been able to work with Stu. Definitely wouldn't have been able to work with Stu. I say ashamedly. A young me wouldn't have been able to do that. But someone who's grown a bit, matured a bit, and I've still got a long way to go. But it's about faith and what we know. How many times as a pastor have I heard, I don't know enough to use my gifts? I say, you know, you've got a gift, you know enough. We have a walk by knowledge? No. We walk by faith. We don't walk by knowledge. We walk by faith. That's the journey we're called to, all of us. And when we do that, we become mature, it says. Attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now that's a big bucket. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Oh, that's a wonderful goal, isn't it? Imagine having the fullness of Christ. That's what's available to us. That's the relationship we walk in. But do we actually utilize that? Then it goes on to say in the passage, then you'll be no longer infants tossed backwards and forwards by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemes. So when we're walking in faith, growing in knowledge, maturing in the fullness of Christ, we actually recognise when someone's going a little bit off skew. This whole passage starts at Ephesians 4:1, and it talks in 1 to 3, it talks about being patient and kind. It talks about coming from a place of humility and gentleness. It's not when we're using our gifts, we're going, well, I've got the gift of leadership, and therefore you will listen to me, and you will do it my way, and you... That's exactly what Peter was saying at the start of the service. It comes from a place of gentleness and kindness, from the fruits of the Spirit. That's how we use the gifts. That's how we're called to use the gifts, to be gentle and kind. One Lord, one baptism, one God. So how are you going to use your gifts? How are you going to encourage these three pastors? How are you going to build the kingdom of God here at Lilydale? It's our responsibility to do that. It's your responsibility to utilise what God has given you to be the people of God here for the community at Lilydale. And when you work together, amazing things will happen. Amazing things will happen. So as we induct three pastors, as we pray for the leaders who are going to continue to work in Lilydale, what's your role? I like to have a so what at the end of my sermon. So what do we do with this? I can talk for 15, 20 minutes and you can all get your cup of tea and go home. But what's the homework? The homework is to be sure that you're listening to what God is asking you to do here at Lilydale. But you're listening as a community. You don't say, God told me and I'm doing this. Well, you know, sometimes in family, you know, one of my kids might say, we're getting together and we're going to do it this way. I'm going, well, did you actually think about the rest of the family and what that might do? How that might work? You know? Like, nothing against the Lost family, but maybe they should have thought that there's a pastor in the family that has an appointment a long way away. But maybe that wasn't asked because it wasn't in their scheme. So they, rather than just saying, this is the way we should go, actually stopping and listening to the whole family. So listen to God, but check it with the rest of the family. Say, I'm going to go this way. But just listen to the rest of the family and go in unity. That's your homework. Listen to what God's saying. Check it with the family in unity about what you should be doing to build the kingdom of God here at Lilydale. What are you going to do? What's God calling you to do? Let me pray and then we'll move into the induction. Father, we thank you that you gift us all. That you give us all something to do in the kingdom. That you equip us. That you give us a job to do in the kingdom that builds the kingdom up. Father, may we have ears to hear what you're saying to us this week. Maybe that role is changing. Maybe it's a new role. Maybe it's an official role or an unofficial role. Father, give us ears to hear what you're calling us to do so that we can be a part of building the kingdom. And may we do that in gentleness and humility as we serve you. Because we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As been mentioned, this is a very important day. I think a very exciting day where you get to induct three pastors who are committing themselves to Lilydale. These three young gentlemen, none of them are new to you as a church. They've been hanging around and you can't get rid of them. So you might as well just put them on staff. Sounds like a plan. But they've been hanging around, and you can just see the way God has moved to build this team, in all seriousness. Right? They just have come together by the leading of God. And this is a unique team. It's a unique experience. I do a lot of inductions, but very rarely do I do three. I've never done three in the one day. However, when it was suggested, I've gone, well, that's interesting. And the more it sat with me, the more excited I got for Lilydale. Talk about giftings and how giftings work together and how giftings will continue to work together. I think, and I described, I think I said to Tony during the week, this is the A team. This is the A team of pastors. You have some fantastic experience, some wonderful people who are standing up and saying, I'm going to build the kingdom of God here. So for me, it's an exciting day. And I know Lilydale will be in safe hands and caring hands. So I'm going to ask Peter and Tony and Daryl to come up. Guys, if you want to come up, that'd be great. Grab this. And I'm going to ask them each one question. And they just, it's a bit like a wedding. But I'm going to ask them one question. And if they say I do, then I'm going to ask you one question. And I say this at every induction, and I mean it. I will ask you until I actually hear an affirmation. If I hear, I'm going to ask you again. Because you've voted on this as members. So when I ask you, your response is, we do and we will. Okay, because I'm going to ask you what you will do and what you will do. So that it will make sense what you do. But your answer is we. I'll get it right. We do and we will. Okay? That's all you've got to remember. Not hard, but I'll ask you to stand and say that when we get to it. Peter, I had to find out which one. Where are we going? Do you accept the role of lead pastor within this church, believing that God has led you to the ministry within and through this community of faith? Will you live out this calling, being empowered by God and giving priority to your personal rhythms of prayer and spiritual growth?
I do.
Thank you. Tony, do you accept the role of co-pastor within this church, believing that God has led you to the ministry within and through this community of faith? Will you live out this calling, being empowered by God and giving priority to your personal rhythms of prayer and spiritual growth?
I do.
Daryl. Do you accept the role of co-pastor within this church, believing that God has led you to the ministry within and through this community of faith? Will you live out this calling, being empowered by God, to give priority to your personal rhythms of prayer and spiritual growth?
I do.
Thank you. If you're able, I'd love you to stand. Do you, the congregation at Lilydale, accept Peter, Tony and Daryl as your pastoral team of this church. Do you affirm your commitment to their ministry and will you support them in prayer and in action?
We do and
you
will.
Excellent, thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, who anoints us all to serve others with love and compassion, I confirm Peter, Tony and Daryl's induction into the ministry of this church as its pastoral team. May God's peace enfold you. May the inspiration of God's incisive spirit captivate you and grow your own adventure of faith as you lead the people here with humility and hope. I'm going to ask you to remain standing. You can give them a clap. Yeah, give them a clap. I'm going to ask the elders and the leadership team to come and lay hands and pray on your behalf. We organise prayers, or we just
as the spirit leads.
As the spirit leads. Who would? If one or two could pray, that would be fantastic. And who would like the microphone first? Gordon, and you can pass it to someone else who relates. Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, a day when we see three pastors who have come at the same time, in the same place, in such a wonderful way. And we just thank you for what you've done this year. We thank you for how you've led us to this point. We ask your greatest blessing on each one of them so that they may serve as they have said and that we may respond and serve with them and encourage them in everything they do. So bless them, I pray, Father, in everything that they do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father God, I ask you that to bring these three pastors before you, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope of which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. We thank you, O God, for these three pastors. They are, as you say, they're gifting for 100 years of experience among them. Lord, I pray that they will serve you in humility, in peace and harmony for the glory of to build your kingdom in Lilydale and in surrounding area. Bless them, O God, and bless your family in Jesus' mighty name, I pray.
Amen. 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 Thank you very much. You can give them another clap now as they go back to the seats. Thank you. Please be seated. The last thing I get to as a privilege is to actually recognise and pray for the leaders of the different ministries of this church. And as I read out the different groups, I would ask those leaders to stand and remain standing. And when everyone on the list is standing, I'll pray for them. This is only the leaders. Behind all these leaders are people who do a lot of work, people who are on different rosters, people who are doing different ministries, who are in not in the leadership role, but in the serving role. It's not that we don't value them, but this is a time where we acknowledge leadership and who is leading the teams. Those in the teams play a vital role. So we're not diminishing that, but we're just recognising today leaders and their roles. So can I just ask, as I read out the teams, you stand up. The eldership team. The leadership team. the life group leaders. The worship team. The mission mobilization team. The ladies ministry team, which includes the bling team. The men's ministry team. Playgroup leaders. Those involved in the mustard tree, including the community care and the community table team leaders. And the office administration team. Let me pray on your behalf. Father, we thank you for those standing, for the way you've gifted and prepared them for ministry. Father, we thank you for their willingness to serve you, to continue to build the kingdom here at Lilydale. Father, may you help them lead with wisdom, with peace, and with unity, with humility of spirit. Father, may you guide them. May you give them fresh passion. And Father, as they continue to work in their teams, may you give them a shepherd's heart to look after those who serve with them. Father, I pray your spirit anointing on these people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can give them a clap too as they sit down. Thank you. We're going to continue in our service.